This is Pastor Kevin. The message you're about to hear was prepared for my church family with prayer and care. I share it with you so that God's Word may impact your life as it has mine. Most of the message recordings on my website are accompanied by listening guides or note sheets to help you focus on the message and identify the key points. I encourage you to download and print the guide or note sheet for this message and use it to take your own notes. And when it comes to decision time, you'll find it easier to recognize just what God is asking of you. One more thing. Pause the recording and pray, asking God to meet with you personally in the next few minutes. That's why I put these messages online, so you could hear Him, not me. God bless you on your journey to fruitful fellowship of our Lord Jesus. I want to talk to you about following God's plan thoroughly out of Matthew chapter 4. Now, sometimes Christians seek God's will in parts of their life, but not all of their life. Has that ever happened to you? Reality reveals that some areas of our lives are off limits when it comes to real spiritual practices. That's not ideal, but it's true, isn't it? Am I in the right place? Yes, it's true. It's true in my life. It's true in your life. And two areas Christians really prefer not to consider obedience. It's not that we reject God. We just don't want to consider it. We don't really even want to think about it because of the significant consequences that we would foresee in those two areas. And I want to deal with that this morning. We simply don't want to go there. And here's the two areas. Number one, allowing God to choose where we live and go. I mean truly where you live. I don't just mean where in town you have your house. I mean, is this the town God wants you to be in? Or does He want you to be somewhere else? I can stand before you today and tell you with absolute certainty that God does not want me living in West Palm Beach, Florida. And God does not want me living in Big Spring, Texas. God wants me living in Aztec, New Mexico. And when I found that out, I didn't even know where Aztec, New Mexico was. I'd never heard of the Four Corners before. And so one is allowing God to choose where we live and go, and then allowing God to choose what we do with our lives, including our occupation. Our occupation is the occupation you have that you will walk into tomorrow. Is that what God wants you to do? Wow. That's kind of quiet, is it? Is it? That's a good question, isn't it? So following God's plan thoroughly, I subtitled this, Conforming Your Whole Life to God's Will. You see, where we live and what we do for our occupation, does not that dominate most of our life? Huge areas. And so the takeaway at the bottom of your note sheet, you'll find it there, both my residence and my occupation should conform to God's will. I've had before people come to my office and they were struggling. They were struggling because they thought God might be speaking to them to move. And their house was in bad shape, but that was their house. And how many, everybody who has stuff, raise your hand. Let's be honest. How many of you have stuff? I don't mean possessions. You know what I mean, stuff. You have stuff. We got stuff. And all of our stuff is at those houses. It's in boxes. It's piled up. It's under the bed. It's in cabinets that we haven't opened in a long time. But don't we like our stuff being there? Stop poking your spouse. It's hard for us to make those kinds of transitions. We are comfortable with what we do and where we are. But our comfortableness should never prevent us from listening to God, hearing God, and immediately obeying what it is that God would be saying to us. And so I want you to take your Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And I want us to read once more through the passage that Johnny read just a few moments ago. I want you to think about what I've just said and have that in mind as we read this passage. And see if you see in this passage Jesus living where God wants him to live and doing what God wants him to do. In verse 12, the scripture begins, Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And upon leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet.
the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land in shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the approach I want us to take to looking at this passage is similar to approaches that we've taken to other passages out of the book of Matthew before we started our Christmas series of messages. And that was based on Matthew 28:20, where there's a little phrase in the Great Commission that says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And when we looked at that little passage, we came up with a pattern that we need to do to be able to obey that ourselves. And the first is to really want it, to want what it is that Jesus teaches us. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, do I want what Jesus teaches? And then we need to learn it. We need to ask ourselves the question, do I understand what it is that Jesus teaches? We need to be careful with that. And then if we're going to teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded us, we need to live it so that we'll know how to teach them. And so we got to ask ourselves the question, do I do what Jesus is teaching? And then if we're going to be Great Commission Christians, after we've done all that, then we have to teach it. And so we need to ask ourselves the question as we walk through this passage, do I guide others to obey too? Guys, this morning and this teaching is not just about you. It's not just about your personal walk with God and your personal obedience. This is about someone else who's going to obey because of you, because of your life. Because of your intentional words of explanation and teaching. Because you were called by God to be a Great Commission Christian. And so this process that we're talking about produces more obedience in you. But listen, it also produces more people who obey. That's what the Great Commission does. It produces obedience and more people who obey. And so we're going to walk through that process of want it, learn it, live it, and then teach it with this passage. And so let's begin with want it. And in Psalm 119, there's a little verse in verse 33. It says this, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. That's a passionate statement. Would you bow your heads right now? And let's ask God to give us that kind of passion for what Jesus has to teach us today. Gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you. I come before this word. And I pray that by your Spirit in this room, it would become living and active in each one of our lives. I pray that this particular passage would. I pray that Matthew 28:20 would. I pray that all of your teaching off these pages would flow into our hearts and change us and alter our lives. So that we would be marked as those who have been with Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would teach us to follow your decrees. And Father, plant within our heart the passionate desire to keep those instructions until the very end. Cause us to be so faithful, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your pen, and I hope you'll take some notes as we go along. As we learn about this passage, we learn what it's saying. I want you to know that there are many things that are brought up in this passage that we could pursue, that we could look at. And so this morning, my plan is not to plunge into the depths and cover everything about this passage. That is impossible. That is impossible. We could spend years doing that. I just want to touch on a couple of truths about it. So let's begin with some concepts that are important for us as we look at this passage. In your notes, it says God's will consists of blank and blank instructions for our lives. Blank instructions are so important for our lives, aren't they? Here's what to put in those blanks. General and specific instructions. General and specific. God has a general will that you should conform your life to. But he also has a specific will for you and your life. And on his throne right now, God, because of his infinite ability, he has enough attention to give right now to your individual life and to be thinking about what it is he wants from you. Can you believe that? Right now, while we sit in this room, the Creator God Almighty, sitting upon his throne, has each one of you in mind. There is no one on earth who can do that. and it doesn't even tax his ability. Let me give you an example of God's general instructions for us. In 1 John 3:11, we read these simple words. There are many of these all over Scripture. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we, do you hear the we? That we should love one another. No one under my voice right now is exempt from this instruction. It is general instruction that applies to every individual here. We should love one another. But then there is specific instruction. And when God speaks to you in this way, it won't apply to the person sitting next to you. It's for you. It's for your life. That's what individual instruction is all about. Today, God still gives individual instruction and guidance to people's lives. That is real. And so let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul. He was a Pharisee and he was a persecutor of the way of Christians in the pursuit of their faith. And he was on his way to Damascus on mission specifically to torment Christians. That's what he was on the way there for. And on the road to Damascus, he had an experience. His people traveling with him shared in the experience. And Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul and spoke to him. And then he went on the rest of the way to Damascus blind. He had to be led. And all of this happens to this Pharisee of the Pharisee. So God speaks to a man named Ananias. Now listen, if you had been Ananias, you probably would have said, God, I realize that you want me to stand in front of the gun that is about to shoot me. But is there anyone else that you could send? Because what God asked Ananias, a Christian, to do was to go seek out and actually go in the presence and admit who he is in front of Saul, the persecutor of the church. Guys, this is a fellow that you avoid. You hear he's walking down the streets and you close your doors and hide, hoping he won't know that you're there if you're a Christian. That's who he is. And God sends Ananias to him to lay hands on him to restore his sight. God, is there someone else who could restore his sight? Someone that you like less than me. I mean, can you imagine that? And so God speaks to Ananias and he talks about Saul and he describes Saul to Ananias. I want you to listen for individual instruction and will for Saul's life. This doesn't apply to Ananias. This only applies to Saul. God says he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Saul is not destined to become a tax collector. He's not destined to be a carpenter. He's not destined to be a scribe. He's not even destined to be a Pharisee. God has a specific plan for his life. And he is going to be the greatest church planter of the Christian faith. That's individual instruction, isn't it? And that doesn't apply to Ananias. And for that, I'm sure Ananias was delighted. Delighted. But God has a plan for you. And your life. And so this morning, I want us to consider that and look through this. Now, God may give us free choice. He may on certain things say, hey man, whatever you want to do, just when you do whatever it is you do, live according to the general instructions I've already given. Sometimes God says that. But sometimes God gives razor sharp and clear instruction. I want you to do this and not something else. I told you that I'm not supposed to be living right now in West Palm Beach, Florida. I'm not supposed to be living in Big Spring, Texas. I'm supposed to be living in Aztec, New Mexico. Guys, that is razor clear. I know that 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 today I am supposed to be in Aztec, New Mexico. And not only that, when I moved here, I was supposed to live in Aztec. I don't just mean in the area. I mean, my home was supposed to be in Aztec, New Mexico. Not in Bloomfield, not in Cedar Hill, not in Flora Vista, not in Farmington, New Mexico, but in the city. And so the reason I live in the city of Aztec is because I know that's what the Lord wants me to do. Is that specific? Now, that doesn't apply to you. That applies to me. Now, where there are no specifics, where God doesn't give you specific instruction about a particular area of your life, then you must apply all of the general instructions you can come up with that apply to that situation, to that area, and live by them. That's what we do when we don't have specific instruction. We live ardently by the general instructions God has given us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. But where there are specifics, listen, where are there specifics? We must pursue specific obedience. Amen. And we always, no matter what it is, general or specific, we always pursue obedience. Guys, we need a passion to be obedient to Jesus no matter what, to follow Him no matter what the cost. Obedience is what it's all about. Attention to specific and individual guidance is important to avoid the trap of legalism. I'd like to give you an example so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Now legalism is following religious rules without honoring God. It's where things become so much of a habit to us. They're simply things that we do or things that we require of others, but long ago they ceased to have any God in them. In the Old Testament, this was a real problem with the practice of faith that God put in place. But God had to come back to His people. And He says, I'm not really so interested in your sacrifices. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in you and me. I'm interested in you following and obeying me and being passionate about me and having a heart to follow me. That's bigger to God than all of the sacrificial system ever was. But legalism puts rules in place that originally are meant to honor God, but somewhere along the line, God disappears from them. Today, this morning, this doesn't just exist in the Old Testament. Today, this morning, there are churches right here in the four corners. Ladies, a lot of you are wearing pants. Oh, no. If you walked into some of those churches today, you would be immediately shunned just like that because, ladies, you're wearing pants and not dresses. Now, somewhere along the line, that rule was meant to honor God. But long ago, certain rules have completely lost any connection with God, and they're just a rule, and you would be shunned, and you would be looked down upon, and it wouldn't matter if you were there under the conviction of God because you needed to be saved from your sin or redirected because you needed instruction for your life. You see, legalism can take what's God and turn it into wickedness itself. That's what happened in the Old Testament. Jesus faced it in the New Testament, and it's healed here today. Specific instruction and paying specific attention to our own walk in obedience to God helps us to avoid legalism. The King David, before he was king, while Saul was still king, another Saul the king in the Old Testament, while Saul was still king, David had to flee from him. And while David and his men were fleeing from him, they became hungry. And they came to the priest at a place named Nob. And you must understand, according to the rules, there was a particular bread that was placed before God in the tabernacle that was not to be eaten by anybody but the priest because it was holy. It was the showbread, the bread of the presence. And David got there and he said, man, we're so hungry. And the priest wanted to know why he was there. He said, man, we're on a journey and we're just really hungry. Do you have anything that we can eat? And he says, all we have is the showbread, the bread of the presence. And you know, they gave it, even though David and his men were not priests. They gave it to David and his men and they ate the showbread, which was only for the priest to eat. Now, those of you who are rule people, you're struggling with that right now. How in the world could David, a man after God's own heart, break the rules? Because rules can be used legalistically. Jesus speaks about this very situation. He speaks to it with no condemnation whatsoever. He says, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. And right then when he's saying that, he's condemning legalism. And guys, paying real close attention to your personal walk with God and to God's personal instructions to you that apply to you makes all the difference and will help you not to get caught in the trap of legalism. Let's look at some specific things from this passage. In verses 13 and 14, it says that he left Nazareth. He came and he settled in Capernaum. Isn't that like moving in? He settled in Capernaum by the sea. And verse 14 is very telling about that move that he made. He didn't move because it was a better climate or because the food was better there or things were more convenient. He moved because it was the will of God. Verse 14, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Who do you think spoke through Isaiah the prophet? It was God speaking His will. The plan for Jesus' life was in place hundreds of years before His birth. And he is following God's plan for his life. Listen, this plan to move to Capernaum, it didn't apply to all the other people who lived in Nazareth. It applied to Jesus. He knew that he needed to move. He moved to Capernaum. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. There's a point there for you to fill in on your note sheet. God may have specific plans for where I live and where I go. Now, those plans may be permanent or they may be temporary. It may be a mission trip or a wholesale move of you and your family. But God may have specific plans for that. Consider Abraham, whom God told to simply leave and go to a land that I will show you. Is that specific? Everybody in town in Haran didn't load up and leave with him, just Abraham and his family. Have you ever thought about the careful layout of the tribes around the tabernacle during the 40 years of wandering in the desert? We may call it wandering, like they didn't know where they were going next. But listen, when they stopped and set up camp, you didn't pitch your tent anywhere you wanted to. There was a specific layout, and tribes all pitched their tents together in certain places. Listen, God had a plan for where they lived for a purpose. And consider the promised land itself. When God took his people out of Egypt, was he just taking them somewhere? No, the Bible's very clear that there was a land that was given. He made this clear to Abraham, that was given to God's people, the land of their forefathers. He was taking them to the promised land. And not just any land, the promised land, a very specific place where they were supposed to go and to live. That was the reason he took them out of Egypt. Consider Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, after Jesus is born, living there in Bethlehem, and God speaks to Joseph and says, now, leave, go to Egypt. Aren't you thankful that Joseph was the kind of man who now got up, got his family together, and left and went to Egypt? And they lived in Egypt for a while. We don't know how long. And God spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, it's time to go back to the land of your fathers. And so he packs up and starts heading back to Bethlehem. And they get to Judea. And God speaks to him and says, no, not this place. Keep going on. And he goes all the way up into Galilee to Nazareth. Listen, God had a specific plan for where he lived. Amen? What about you? If God were to speak today in such a way, would you be ready to pick up all of your stuff, to pack up all of your family, and to go wherever God wants you to go? Are you ready? Now do you see why I said some places are off limits when it comes to real spiritual practice? Guys, that's a tough question, isn't it? That's a tough question. And there, in verse 12, it says there are times to withdraw, to get away. And we don't know all of Jesus' motivation. I've looked into that a little bit, and sometime we'll have to walk through what it means to withdraw in the Bible. You'll be excited about that. It'll be restful and refreshing for you. But let me move on here and look at God may have specific plans for what I do with my life. You can fill in that blank. What I do with my lives. These plans may be temporary or permanent. And consider for a moment David. He was a happy shepherd, and God wanted him to be a king. There would be a division point in the kingly line, David. What about Noah? And God had a specific idea for what Noah should do. He gave him a specific job because through Noah, God wanted to save those who were faithful from his wrath. What about Gideon? A Gideon who was threshing his wheat in a hole in the ground, bless his heart. I mean, God calls on him to be a great military leader of his people. How about Aaron and all of his sons and family to become Levites and not be counted among the tribes, not be given an inheritance like everyone else, but to be servants of the Lord. What about the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, but God wanted him to be a Christian church planter? What about all the apostles? All of these crazy guys from all these occupations, and God wanted them to be the anchors of a church that still goes today. What about Bezalel and Oholiab? Are you familiar with them? Bezalel and Oholiab? Haven't noticed many people naming their children after Bezalel and Oholiab. Bezalel and Oholiab were craftsmen in the days of the building of the tabernacle. And God specifically chose Bezalel to be the chief craftsman in building all of the fine things that would be used in the worship of the Lord God Almighty. And Oholiab was his right-hand man and a band of craftsmen around them. God called them for a particular task. Isn't that amazing? Do you believe that God may have individual plans for you and what you do? He may give you a choice, but He may also speak to you and tell you, this is what I want you to do. This is the way. Walk in it. Look at verse 17. Jesus came. He came with a message that had been prophesied beforehand. And we see it unfold right here in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. He began to proclaim. He began to evangelize and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to save people from their sins. He is a Savior. And He came to do just exactly what God planned for Him to do. Have you ever noticed that the Great Commission tells us where to go and what to do? Go ye therefore into all the world, amen, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing, that's something you do. And teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. He tells us where to go and He tells us what to do. God is interested in your life. He's not just interested in trivialities and stuff like that. He is interested in the things that most dominate most of your time, where you live and what you do. Now, we may face hindrances to our obedience. I just want to list some of them. I think you will be able to fill in the blanks yourself. I think you'll be able to interpret this on your own. There are things that will hold us back from obeying when God calls us into specifically where to live and what to do. Our ambitions. I had ambitions. While we were in Albuquerque this past week, we drove by an electronics firm. My family learned some things about me that they didn't all know. We drove by this big electronics distribution company, and I saw the name. I don't even remember what it was. Something Electronics Incorporated. Something. It was a huge building. And suddenly I remembered what had been my life ambition, what was my dream, what I was aiming for, what I was in college studying for. I was going to be a businessman. I was going to get my electrical engineering degree. I was going to have the premier, the bedrock, the standard electronics manufacturing and distribution company in the United States. That's what I was going to do. I had a plan for it. I was chasing it. I was after it. I was going in a real different direction than I'm going now. Amen. I was going to rock my world through technology. And I was excited about that. And then God began to speak to my heart and show me and tell me that He had another plan for my life. He had something else He wanted me to do. And you know, the one thing that He didn't change in my plans was rock my world. He just took electronics and He took electrical engineering and He took that all out of it. And what did He put in it? He put in it Jesus Christ and God's Word and ministry. He changed. He changed what I did with my life. I know about ambitions. I had an ambition. But here's some other things. Possessions. Our possessions can hinder us. Our comforts, our routines, our conveniences. All of these things can hold us back. And guys, we tend to hold on to things, don't we? All that is a distortion of faithfulness. God wove faithfulness into our hearts, and that faithfulness just gets distorted because we become faithful to the wrong things. And so if God calls us, we must go. So look at that takeaway at the bottom of your note sheet. Both my residence and my occupation should conform to God's will. If you want to live this, not just learn it, but live it, you need to pray and seek God until you hear from Him. You need to ask God, where do you want me to live and to go? And wait for the answer. You need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Is this the job or occupation you have? I want you to know, if you're here and you're retired today, we've got a bunch of retirees, and there is nobody that can be more flexible in God's hand than a retiree. God may be speaking to you. And so ask Him those things. Then obey Him and make the adjustments and make the changes. And if you struggle with that, I've got something to help you. Because sometimes it's hard to figure out, is God speaking to me or telling me? And so I put together a worksheet. It's called a God's Will Worksheet. There's some over here on the table, on the Lord's Supper table when we get done. If you want to pick up one and use it, please do. There's a place to write your big question for the Lord on top. And then there are sections where we begin listening and seeking God's will, different ways He speaks to us. And it walks through these areas. God guides us through the Holy Bible. God guides us through our human faculties. He really did make you to think and reason. God guides us through personalized spiritual impressions. You know, when you pray and God simply impresses something boldly upon your heart. God guides us through supernatural communications. I put that on here not because I'm Baptist, but listen to me, because I believe the Bible even more than I believe the Baptist faith and message. And today in the world, not in the United States, but other places in the world, God is still speaking through visions and angelic visitations. Today, it's still happening, just like it happens in the Bible. And so God can guide us through spiritual, natural communication. And then God can guide us through our church family and others. Amen? Sometimes it's good to have somebody else say, yeah, I knew that all along. When I left West Palm Beach, Florida, my pastor told me, he said, you know, Kevin, since you first got here, I wondered why you were even here. Because you had pastor written all over you. Guys, that helped me know I was going in the right direction. And then the very last thing on the sheet, I think is the very last thing we should consider. Many times we consider this first, but this should be last. Behind all those other things is God guides us through life circumstances. And your life circumstances may not look like God is leading you when He may be. Sometimes our life circumstances look like maybe God is going to make a big change, and He's not. And our life circumstances need to be seen through the lens of all else that God is using to direct us. And so we have those over there. If you have any questions about them and how to use them, please come and ask me. And then not only do you want to live it and you want to know these answers for yourselves, guys, you're Great Commission Christians. You want to teach it. You want to teach someone else to obey, to walk the same journey that you're walking and to succeed in it. And if you want to do that, you need to tell your story like I've told my story today. Then you need to explain the discovery process. You need to walk them through the God's Will Worksheet. You need to walk them through Matthew 4, 12 through 17. You need to mention all of the examples in the Bible of where God told somebody a place to live and a thing to do so that they'll understand God does that kind of thing. And then you need to help them know what to do to walk through and discover it. And then don't just get them started on it, but ask about progress. Tell others your story. Explain the discovery process and ask about progress. And do you remember? This process God has us in. It produces more obedience in us, but never forget, it also produces more people who obey. God wants to use you to do that. So look once again at the takeaway at the bottom of the sheet. Both my residence and my occupation should conform to God's will.
This is Pastor Kevin once again. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and to learn from God's Word. Often when I listen to Bible preaching with an open heart, God speaks to me. He gives me instructions. He imparts wisdom. And many times He calls me to a point of decision where I will have to say yes or no to Him and to His ways. It's easy to move on after listening to a recording and make no adjustments to our lives, to make no headway toward the new obedience God calls us toward. I want to invite you to respond to this message. I'd like to encourage you to keep going with the things God has spoken to you through this message, and I'd like to do that through personal correspondence. So let me extend this invitation to you. Use the contact form on the website to send me a note about how God has spoken to you through this message. Share the insight God has taught you. Share how you believe God is calling you forward in your walk with Him. And share with me any steps of obedience you believe God is asking of you. And please include the sermon title too. I will pray for you and write you back to see how you're weaving these new truths into your life. I look forward to hearing from you. Don't let God's Word lie dormant in your life. Do something about it today. Contact me.